operating Australia's largest complementary SME model, helping the defence sector optimise capability and assets. Gold Group presents the Defence Ready Seminar Series podcasts. The Defence Ready Seminar Series is a joint initiative of Gold Group, Hunter Defence, Aiden, and the Centre for Defence Industry Capability.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Defence Ready Seminar Series of podcasts. My name is Grant McCarran, and in this episode, we're going to be discussing defence contracting. And for this discussion, I'm joined by Daniel Mendoza-Jones, who is the principal of Mendoza Legal and Consulting. Welcome, Daniel. How are you doing today?
Hi, Grant. Thanks very much. I'm very well, thanks.
Excellent. Well, Daniel, could you please start things off by telling us a bit about yourself and your experience and how that applies to the topic you're conducting for your seminar?
Sure. I'm a corporate and commercial solicitor, and I've been in practice for about 15 years. And the main thing that I've been focusing on throughout that time as a lawyer has been technology, innovation, and all other things relating to defence industry, aviation, and aerospace. And that has been a feature of my professional life since I started as a graduate solicitor working in a large law firm in Sydney, and has carried right through to more recent years since having started my own specialist corporate and commercial law practice, which focuses specifically on these areas. So it's been a wonderful journey over that time of having had a combination of advising defence industry participants, both large and small, local and international, and also on the buyer, the government side, from time to time, on aspects of technology and other contributions to the national interest, which is why I find this area of commercial law so interesting. And the other side of my working life, which gives me a great deal of context and informs a lot of that work that I do in private practice, is having been an officer in the Air Force Reserve for that same period of time, which has been a fantastic way of combining my interests in all matters defence, aviation and aerospace.
Now, I understand you've worked overseas as well as here in Australia. Was that through your Air Force work there, or was that other things that took you overseas?
Yeah, that was a wonderful experience. My wife and I spent a couple of years in Boston, in the States, where we were studying and working. And I was working at the time for the Defense Department, and part of my role while in America was to engage with local American government agencies and to develop some bilateral cooperation on particular areas that we were focusing on at the time. And that's, thinking of where we are now and hardly even able to leave our suburb in lockdown conditions, that seems like a fantasy experience that happened in our past that I could only hope to replicate in the future. But in any case, it was great because it put very important context around the work that I do now in private practice, given the important relationship and the important involvement that our defence industry has with its counterpart industry in the States.
So lots of experience in defence and industry and so on. Can you explain then for this seminar bundle that you're going to present? It's going to be on defence contracting. So can you run us through the theme of the bundle and how it's going to be delivered?
Sure. So the defence contracting seminar as part of the Defence Ready series is going to focus on the important legal and commercial aspects of a defence industry participant's engagement, either with the Commonwealth, the Defence Department, or otherwise elsewhere in the defence industry supply chain. And it's a unique industry for those prospective industry participants who are thinking of becoming involved because they have a business offering that is that might be of interest or use to the industry or to the Commonwealth. There are nuances and unique features of the legal and contracting arrangements, which will be the focus of our seminar and time together across the various modules. And our objective will be to give everybody the sense of familiarity and confidence with those unique legal and contracting arrangements so that they can embark on those exciting commercial journeys with a much greater degree of confidence in what can otherwise be a fairly opaque and intimidating world.
It certainly can be. So do you have any specific topics you want to call out?
Yes, the sorts of topics that we're going to be talking about in the seminar will range from understanding the nature of the defence procurement system and really how it's different from probably anything that a new defence industry participant will have experienced beforehand, understanding the concepts of procurement within defence industry, ranging from simple procurements all the way through to complex open market tendering. Once an industry participant has a foot in the door, how to engage in contract negotiations and what are some of the unique legal features and characteristics that need to be kept in mind. And with a particular focus on things like intellectual property. And the reason why I've mentioned that especially here is that seems to me to be an area where new defence industry participants are often unsure about how to obtain and, importantly, retain their commercial advantage through the management of their intellectual property in these contract negotiations, I should say. We then progress through the seminar topics, assuming that a contract is on foot, how a participant should expect that the contract will be managed by the buyer, also by the government in that case, where particular risks arise, what are common pitfalls, where disputes normally originate from, and importantly, how to avoid them, really with the objective of maximising the defence industry participants' chances of having a smooth and successful commercial relationship with the Commonwealth. And we also spend a bit of time talking about what to do really when things go wrong from a legal perspective and how to go about either doing something about not being happy with the decision that's been made and how to have complaints processed and how to seek remedies if that's what's needed.
Okay, so quite a comprehensive look at contracting and definitely an important topic for anyone who's looking to engage with defence. So as with the rest of the seminar series, it's all great for helping people. So how does this package that you're talking about, your defence contracting seminar, fit in with all the rest of the Defence Ready series?
So it's part of the exponent stage of the seminars, which is really aimed for those industry participants who are entering the market, most likely for the first time, but not necessarily. It could be for those who have previously had involvement with defence industry, have stepped outside it for whatever reason and are thinking of coming back in, or otherwise for anyone currently or hoping to be part of the defence industry supply chain who wants to know more about these important issues in order to maximise their chances of success in doing business in defence industry. And I should also just put it in the context of some of the other seminars that are part of the Defence Ready series, that this will in particular link in with the other topics that are being presented by experts in tender writing and tender preparation, given our focus on participating in tenders and then how to successfully negotiate a contract after having been hopefully identified as a preferred tenderer. The collaboration seminar that's being run there'll be a great degree of complementarity between that and our the topics we'll be discussing, and also for those other topics that cover regulatory considerations, whether they're export controls or otherwise, given the various regulatory areas of concern that are built into the defence contracting process.
Now, I'm going to take you back a little. You've already touched briefly, clearly this is important, and you've touched briefly on who's likely to be interested in attending. But can you go into a bit more detail about why this topic is so important and who's going to benefit the most from undergoing this training?
I think defence industry participants who have either been involved in supplying to the Defence Department or otherwise to other organisations within the defence supply chain. Those organisations who have been taking a relatively passive approach to the legal considerations as part of those contracting arrangements will firstly find this especially useful. And the reason why I identify that group of organisations first is that the amount of reform and the number of changes that are taking place to the world of defence contracting simply means that it's essential for that group to keep up to date if they are going to successfully engage with the defence industry supply chain as a contractor, because to not do so will simply be against their commercial interests and demonstrate a lack of familiarity with how the Defence Department wants to do business. The second group are those who have never done business with defence and for whom this is a whole new world. There's all sorts of relatively otherwise unintelligible acronyms and abbreviations that we want to demystify and just make all of this as accessible as possible in order for these issues not to be the roadblock to a successful commercial engagement that, frankly, it otherwise so often and unnecessarily is.
Previously, you've given us an overview of what the topics are going to be, but now we're at the section of this discussion where we need to go into more details about what you're going to do, how many workshops are involved, what's each workshop going to cover, and so on. So can you give us the key points and the information that you're going to address under each of the workshops?
Sure. The Defence Contracting Seminar is going to be delivered in four modules broken down by theme. And it's going to be important to take that approach because what I'm very conscious of not doing is just overloading people with a lot of detailed information in very long stretches of the day, especially given that we're going to be interacting with one another virtually, but rather to break this down into bite-sized chunks to give people the time to process the information, the time to interact with one another offline if necessary. As we move through the topics, and so that there's a natural build and flow to what it is we're talking about. So where we're going to be starting is at the most elementary level, I suppose, and that is to give everybody an overview about the defence procurement system, where does the authority to do this kind of stuff comes from, and to introduce some of the important laws, documents, and policies that they will hear referenced throughout the procurement process, things like the Commonwealth Procurement Rules, things like the Defence Procurement Manual, concepts that might be relatively new to people who haven't otherwise done business with government before, like the importance of Indigenous procurement policies, payment terms that are unique to doing business with government, the concept of Australian industry content and how that gets worked into commercial legal documentation, and an introduction into those areas of indemnities, warranties, and guarantees, and what it is that defence, what's necessary, what's going to make the grade in defence industry in order for someone who's buying products or services from you, when I say you, the defence industry participant, to give them the sort of satisfaction that it's all going to go ahead as planned. And so we'll then, with all of that in mind, we'll then start talking about simple procurement, given that especially for local SMEs who have got a product or service that they are thinking of offering for the first time, it's likely that that product or service would be procured as a simple procurement, possibly even using the Defence Department's standard purchase order terms. And so we'll be spending a bit of time looking at that document to understand some of the unique features in it and putting it in the context of the broader suite of the Defence Department's contracting documents, otherwise known as the ASDEFCON templates, which sounds extremely impressive and warlike, but really is just describing a set of Australian Defence Department contracting templates with which defence industry participants will become quite familiar as they go through their defence journeys, but also in doing so, identifying some unique features of engaging with a government customer, even on a simple procurement basis, and the sorts of remedies that the government has available to it in case of things like defects, and how they're going to expect a supplier to perform to ensure that they are spending taxpayers' money wisely and getting this thing called VFM, the value for money, and that's an ever-present priority throughout the procurement process. With that in mind, we'll then build on the concept of defence procurement through tendering, and I think participants having already had the benefit of the separate Defence Ready seminar on tender preparation and tender writing and how to frame tenders, this will be of particular interest because we'll get into some of the technical considerations about the risks to participants of undertaking a tendering or participating in a tender response process, some particular issues that relate to current suppliers to the government or elsewhere within defence supply chain who are thinking of participating in a tender process. And there are some really interesting court cases, and I appreciate that when I say that some people might already be thinking, geez, how interesting is this going to be? But the one priority that I am going to keep front of mind in delivering these seminars is, one, to dispel the myth that lawyers don't have a sense of humour, and two, that some of the cases, anecdotes, and other points of reference that I'll be using are in fact can't at all be very interesting, which of course they are. And it's using those using those very relevant cases and other anecdotes and personal experiences that I'll be bringing to bear to really colour and illustrate things in particular about organisations' participation in the tendering process and how tenderers will be expected to conduct themselves within the government's expectations and probity rules. Contract negotiations is going to be the next topic. We're going to be talking about things that people might not really have thought much about before. For example, how much uncertainty there is in a contract and what does that mean? What does that translate to in relation to a commercial risk? What sort of other terms are going to be inadvertently incorporated into a contract? What sort of other Defence Department documents might be referenced in the document that all of a sudden become a compulsory thing for you to comply with, things like departmental policies on behaviour, all of which frequently is brushed over, but actually a breach of or a non-compliance with those other materials can itself become a breach of the contract and has been, especially in recent times, a source of dispute and default in those contracts. How buyers within defence industry are going to hold organisations to their warranties and guarantees, especially in relation to products and services being fit for purpose, and the extent to which those sorts of guarantees present subjective risks for defence industry participants, especially these days in light of the emergence of the thing called the performance-based contract. And the performance-based contract, which is an increasing feature in complex material procurement, essentially has the purpose of driving efficiency, driving innovation, and driving contractor performance to increase government's value for money, all of which is excellent. But what it sometimes does is present degrees of uncertainty and subjectivity for suppliers within the industry. For example, whether in relation to the achievement of a milestone, because these things are almost always to the satisfaction of a representative of the buyer, in this case, the Defence Department, and issues arise along those lines. And there are special features of contracting with government about the government's ability to terminate a contract that arise from special rights that it has, things like the doctrine of executive necessity, which means that the government will absolutely insist that it has a right to terminate a contract for convenience or reduce the scope of a contract for convenience, which is something that new participants might not have otherwise dealt with or ever have agreed to in the past because of the risks that presents to them. So we'll talk about all of those things, put it in context and make it seem a bit less scary. We'll be focusing on intellectual property, identifying how the Defence Department sets its rules around the management of intellectual property, a lot of which has changed in the last couple of years. We've moved from an IP management framework in Defence Department contracts. And when I say that, I also mean contracts that then get flowed down further into the defence industry supply chain, because these things are often required to be flowed down in subcontracts, moved away from categorising intellectual property based on the intellectual property itself, but more so now as to the category of the intellectual property. And this now is quite different from how many, I should say most, commercial contracts other than in relation to government business is framed or managed. And it's worth spending some time understanding how all of that works. In particular, new concepts like technical data, highly sensitive technical data, software, commercial technical data, Commonwealth technical data, as opposed to the more traditional approach of background and foreground intellectual property with which people will be more familiar. And so essentially we'll be talking about participants' knowledge and their information about how they can sell it, how other people might want to buy it from them, how it can be shared, how it can be licensed, but most importantly, without losing sight on how it should be properly managed to protect participants' commercial advantage. And that will be the underlying theme of our treatment of that topic. The last couple of things that we'll be talking about are contract performance, where we'll be talking about risks that arise while a contract's on foot, interpretation of vaguely drafted provisions, how that gives rise to disputes, how to try and deal with as many of those before they are ever agreed, but what to do if they do find their way into the documents, how these documents deal with things like penalties and liquidated damages, and how a government buyer or a prime contractor might seek to seek a remedy under a contract for in cases of, for example, delay or another form of unsatisfactory performance, how these contracts are changed and managed over time, which is a normal process that's undertaken as a project unfolds. It's very rarely the case that a scope of work in a contract will be completely unchanged from the time the contract was executed all the way through to completion. And the, I suppose, often unpleasant but very necessary topic to discuss in relation to termination and what happens when things really go wrong and the position of the parties when things are beyond retrieval and these things just need to come to their end. And finally, as I mentioned earlier, how defence industry participants might go about challenging decisions made as part of the defence procurement process. And we'll discuss that from the perspective of being, say, an unsuccessful tenderer or through to being a successful tenderer but unhappy about something. And also, importantly, for many SME participants in the series, from the perspective of subcontractors who are unhappy with a decision that's been made from being further down in the defence industry supply chain. And then finally, about how to seek legal remedies, which is something that no one particularly wants to experience undergoing this process, but is an important legal mechanism available to participants under the recently enacted Government Procurement Judicial Review Act in order to go to the court and ask for assistance if a participant has grounds for review and to apply for the court to require that something else be done if a contract hasn't yet been signed, or otherwise award an aggrieved party compensation for the costs of participating in the tender to return them to their original position before they embarked on the process in respect of which they weren't very happy. So there's a lot more detail in there, but that's a very broad overview of the sorts of things that we're going to be discussing. If it sounds a bit detailed and if it sounds a bit like it could be as interesting as watching paint dry, and I just want to make the point again that we're going to keep it as interesting, as humorous, and most importantly, as relevant to participants as possible, so that everyone will be able to maximise their chances of actually putting this into practice to their commercial advantage once they've finished the seminars.
Well, it certainly is a comprehensive overview you've provided there, and it sounds like it is going to be a necessary and very informative seminar. Now, you've mentioned a couple of times that you're applying, you're giving some anecdotes and things like that. So you've indicated that there is some linkage with real business examples. Can you go into a little bit more detail on how you're going to do that?
Yeah, I think I would love to be able to share all of the different stories and our anecdotes, experiences, both positive and negative, of my clients who have been participants in one form or another in defence industry. But I'm, constrained by this sometimes inconvenient rule that I need to keep most of that stuff confidential, which people will be relieved to hear about because, if we were ever to enter into a solicitor-client relationship, then of course I would treat that very seriously. But what I will be doing is, especially where I have the permission of a previous client to talk about them or talk about their story, I'll be able to do so. Again, that'll be with their permission, or otherwise more generally about experiences that I've had with clients on a strictly no names and very generalized basis, so that we can learn from those experiences but without breaching any of my legal professional obligations to my previous and current clients. But in any case, all of which will be in a way which will be of great use to participants in the series, because it won't be about the specific identities or things like that that will matter. It will be about the point that we're making and, in most cases, the commercial risk that was in question at the time and the lessons that can be drawn from that for the benefit of everybody participating in these in the seminar.
It certainly is a fine line to walk when you're trying to give that real-world experience, make sure people have scenarios without, as you said, violating the confidentiality side of things. So it sounds like, though, that you're going to be able to manage it and have some humour, which always helps an admittedly dry topic like contracting go down a lot better and people to remember everything.
That's the plan.
Certainly. So the classic final question, somebody's gone through, they've done the seminar, they've learned a whole lot from you, they've gone out and they're now starting to think about applying it in their real-world scenarios. So what support is available to those participants who, after the seminar, may need additional information?
I think one of the benefits for participants of participating in the Defence Ready series is the availability of the GOAL group and all of the affiliated subject matter experts to be of assistance to participants in areas of their expertise. So specifically, though, in relation to legal issues in defence contracting, I'll be, as part of the seminar, providing suggestions about where people can go to for more information, for resources, support, mentoring other individuals and organisations who can make themselves available on an especially an informal basis to discuss any of these topics. But importantly, in many of these circumstances where people are going to be engaging with the Commonwealth or engaging with prime contractors to negotiate these contracts, it's often necessary for those organisations to obtain legal advice and to be legally represented in those interactions with the other party. And there are a number of options that people will have available to them. And of course, it would always be my pleasure to be able to assist any participant with anything like that, or for that matter, that relates to anything arising from the seminar and the time that we'll be spending together in the virtual world as we move through these topics.
Well, thank you, Daniel. That's been a wonderful and comprehensive description and overview of the Defence Contracting Seminar that you'll be providing as part of GOAL Group's Defence Ready Seminar Series. So thank you very much, Daniel, for sharing this and for coming on the episode today.
Thanks, Grant. It's been a pleasure.
You have been listening to another Defence Ready Seminar episode. For more information on the Defence Ready Seminar Series, please visit the GOAL Group website at www.goalgroup.com.au. This episode has been produced by Southern Skies Media on behalf of GOAL Group. The content in this episode cannot be used without permission from GOAL Group.
Southern Skies Media.